Well, this morning we're looking at a text that's probably familiar to some of you if you've been around the Christmas celebration long, because this is one of those prophetic texts, if I can learn to talk, that tells us about who Jesus is, the coming Messiah. And realize this was written just under 600 years before his birth. It was written by even some of the most liberal scholars will grant that it was written at 587 B.C. So you can do the math. That was a long time before our Savior's birth into this world. He was around, not that he didn't exist, but that he was came into this world. And that's the prophecy of it tells us so much about the expectation and the hope that the people of Israel had in the coming of the Messiah. And we're going to look at that today because it was going to change everything about the way they saw the world, just as he changes everything in how we see the world today, doesn't he? So as we look at this text in Isaiah 9, go ahead and turn to your copy of God's Word there, Isaiah 9, verses 1 through 7, we're going to look at this morning. If you would and are able, would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word this morning? Isaiah 9, verses 1 through 7. All where I wanted here. Here we go. Read part of this already earlier, but we're reading it again. He says, "But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles." Verse 2, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation, you shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence as with the gladness of the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their pressure as at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and cloak rolled in blood will be burning fuel for the fire." Verse 6, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the words the prophet spoke so long ago that still speak to us today. And we know that your Holy Spirit guided him and encouraged him and gave him the words to say. And we pray, Father, that today as we look at this text, that you will use this time to draw us closer to you and give us a more complete and clear understanding of where you are leading us as individuals, but as people of God, to follow you and to celebrate all that you have done. Bless this time and use it. May you be exalted and lifted up through it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, there are times in history when the world seems consumed by darkness. Would you agree with me? There are dark days and may have some of that going on in our culture and world today as we're trying to figure out and see what lies ahead and understand the world in which we live. Sometimes war and hatred and strife cause those feelings of anguish in us, those feelings of anxiety, those struggles of wondering, well, God, what are you doing in the middle of all this? Are you really in control? Imagine being an enslaved people, because when this text was written was in 587 B.C., was when the children of Israel, at least the leadership of Israel, were in Babylonia, the Babylonian exile. And they basically took the cream of the crop, and you probably remember the book of Daniel and other books that talk about the Babylonian exile, and they took them out of their homeland, everything they knew, and placed them in a strange land, which was Babylonia. And all these strange foods, these strange languages, these strange customs, all these things they had to get used to as they were living in this strange land and yet believing that God had sent them would send them a deliverer. God would eventually take them back home. God would allow them to experience that. And yet they were so far removed from that hope seemed lost. And sometimes we find ourselves in that same setting in our world today, don't we? Hope seems a hard thing to find. It seems like something we don't really see because we're stuck in the middle of this mire and this mess and don't really understand what's going on. And we can only see just a few feet in front of us and really can't see what God's doing sometimes because we're so focused on the mess around us. And oftentimes in the scriptures, God is trying to help us transcend that, help us get beyond that, and help us understand that he is bigger than our mess, that he is bigger than anything we understand, and that he has a purpose and a plan and a direction for our lives. And in this text, he tells the children of Israel, and he tells us today, I'm at work. I'm going to accomplish something that you don't even fully comprehend and understand, but this is so you know when it comes, it will happen. And we see this text so clearly talking about the hope that it brings, that the yoke will be broken, all these things will be taken, but everything focuses there in verse 6, doesn't it? Verse 6 is the heart of this. It's the heart of what we celebrate. It's the reason we lit that candle today. It's the reason we celebrate Christmas, isn't it? Because a child is born to us, a son is given to us. And who is that child? It is Jesus. And now we're looking, from this text, we're looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. I want you to think about that for a minute. That was probably a challenge for some of them to think the Messiah will come. For those of us who are alive today, the Messiah has come and we are looking forward to his return, aren't we? But in this day, they haven't seen the Messiah yet. They're hoping. And the children of Israel went through many different folks that enslaved them or caused them harm. At the time when Jesus came, you remember who was in charge of their lives? The Romans. That's what they had to give their token, their homage to. That's who they, you know, that was in charge of the world at that time. And they were probably wondering, as that was all going on, many of the Jews in that day were probably wondering, when will this end? When will this we be delivered? When will we find hope? When will we go back home and serve in freedom? Now, many of them live still in Israel, but they had no freedoms. They had to do what the Roman Empire told them to do and live in the way that they were told to live. And they were frustrated. And yet, there's always hope as long as our eyes are focused and fixed upon our Creator. Because he always has a plan. Have you noticed that? You see it throughout Scripture. You see time and again where God's people are called to do something and they struggle with it and they seem to figure out, how's this going to happen? And yet, God always accomplishes his plan. And you've heard me say, and others say, God does not have plan B. He has one plan. He doesn't alter it, doesn't change it. It's his plan and it will be accomplished. And he has a plan and purpose for your life as well. Did you know that? You're not some cosmic accident that just happened out of a, you know, whatever and just came up out of the goo and here you are. You are one who is created by God himself and he has a purpose, plan, and direction for your life. And his desire is for you to see that and to begin to flesh it out. But as you see that, he will help you see that as you trust him and then you follow him. And sometimes even in the dark and challenging days, our God, who is still at work, tries to chide us, tries to remind us, encourage us, I love you and I'm with you. Do not worry. Do not fret. Do not allow these things to consume you and overwhelm you. Instead, trust me. And isn't that really the center of what we celebrate in Christmas? Christmas is about hope, is it not? And not hope in a political sense. I'm tired of hope. Sometimes that gets kind of distorted. But hope in a true sense. The hope of the world is Jesus Christ. That deliverance is found in no one else. It is not found in any system. It is not found in any political party. It's not found in any leader. It's found in Christ and Christ alone. He is our hope. He is the one who will deliver us from our darkness, deliver us from our bondage, deliver us from our sin and our self-centeredness, and call us to the place where he has desired that we become, that we be. And at the very center of that, the very hope that God has called us and the desire, the way he brings that, comes through a child. Now, how many of you like action movies? Anybody? All right, most good. I mean, I love action movies. They're just fun. And you always like it when the guy comes in, the hero, and he takes care of the bad guys, right? I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, one of my favorite movies is Braveheart, the story of William Wallace. And I know it's not exactly the way the story really was because that's the way Hollywood does it, right? But I love the way he comes in and he delivers his people, the Scottish people, from the oppressors. And I like the way he does that. And yeah, he does it, you know, because it's Mel Gibson's movie, right? And he's a star. He's the director and the star. I hope you realize that. So it kind of happens that way. But I love that story of that just kind of take charge and we're going to overcome the enemy and we're going to, even though it looks impossible, we're going to win. And sometimes in our lives, we look for that deliverer on a white horse, don't we? We look for someone to come in, swoop in and take care of everything and deliver us from the mess that is our lives or that has been either given to us or we have maybe created ourselves. Well, I'm not saying this morning that God's going to solve all your problems and make everything wonderful and you're going to have a nice, happy life and walk down life and everything's going to be beautiful. What I will say is this, that God has delivered you and I from our greatest enemy, an enemy that none of us can overcome in our own strength, an enemy that defeats every person that lives. It is the great equalizer, and it is death. Death comes for all of us. If the Lord tarries, every one of us will experience that. I'd like to tell you that you're going to get out of it, you know, and we try all kinds of ways to get out of death, don't we? We try to forestall it. We, you know, eat right. We have a good exercise plan. You know, we do all these things to make it look like it's far off, and it is farther off for many of us than it is for others, but it still comes for all of us. You cannot avoid it. It is a reality that every one of us face. But the good news is that our Creator desired to redeem us from it so that death was not the end. It was not just the finish line. Instead, now death becomes a beginning as you're a follower of Christ. The hope that comes in Christ helps us understand that life, though it has its challenges, life, though it comes to an end, in this sense, this body will stop, you know, my heart will stop beating, my lungs will stop working, and one day this body will become just an empty shell. But my hope is that my life goes beyond it. It is beyond more than what I experience now. My life is centered and focused in God and in Christ Jesus. And that's the hope that we see here in Isaiah 9, is it not? They were walking in darkness, they will see a great light. A child is born to us, a son is given to us. And did you catch the names that this child was given? Names that are rather significant. Names that we need to hear, names that change us and help us understand who we are. But the names that are given, he says there, just a few of them, these are Wonderful Counselor. How many of you have ever needed a counselor? Don't raise your hand. Because that means if we need a counselor, something's wrong with us, right? Not really. But yeah, something. If you want to be honest, something's wrong with every one of us. We all got our issues. We all got our problems. We all need encouragement. We all need help sometimes. We all struggle with things emotionally. And we need someone to guide us. And our Savior is that counselor. He is that one that no matter what we face, he can walk with us through it. He can give us strength. He can give us purpose and direction. He can help us see that he is in control. And his love for you is not altered by your circumstances. His love for you is not altered by what you do. His care and watch care over you does not change because, oh, well, you found yourself in the wrong place. Or you did something dumb. And we've all done stuff dumb. We've done silly things. We've done things we shouldn't have done that have put us in difficult situations. And yet God is faithful because of his great love for us. And as that wonderful counselor, he's able to guide us through those times. He's able to walk with us. And not just from afar. He's not saying, you know, sometimes, you know, our counselor kind of has a, and have a not so positive connotation. I don't know if you've not have seen the Bob Newhart video of him helping a young lady, and he doesn't help her very well. I'll let you find that. Just look up Bob Newhart and look up Stop It, and you'll find it on YouTube. It's pretty scary, but that's the way some of us help. But our counselor is wonderful. He walks with you in the middle of your mess, and he understands everything, and he tries to help you see hope, not in your circumstances, but in the one who walks with you in your circumstances. That's the important thing. It's because of his presence, it's because of him there that we have hope, because he can not just help us forget what's going around. It's not an escapism. It's a reality of knowing that he is bigger than our circumstances, than the mess that you find yourself in. God is bigger than that. And our Savior is beyond that. He is above that. He transcends that. And his purpose and plan for your life is to lead you through it. And you're different on the other side of that because of what he does. So as a wonderful counselor, and then it says here, he's also a mighty God. Amen? Our Savior is the mighty. Our Savior is God in the flesh. He is the one who accomplishes all things. He is the fulfillment of everything we've ever hoped for and ever dreamed he could be. He is God. And in that, he deals with us in circumstances that seem impossible, that seem hopeless. And as I mentioned earlier, that one of those circumstances is how do we deal with our sin? What do we do with it? The guilt that nags at us, the knowing that that sin that we commit, that sin that is in our hearts, separates us from Almighty God. There is no way that we can make ourselves good enough or wonderful enough or pure enough to live in the presence of God forever. There is no hope for us except Christ Jesus. The Messiah is that only hope. And he wants us to understand that he is that one who is able to deliver us. He is the mighty God who has accomplished for us the victory. But he's more than a mighty God. He's also, it says here, an eternal Father. Now, I know that is a loaded word in our culture. Some people have had negative experiences with their earthly fathers, and that kind of taints the way they view their heavenly Father. But no, eternal Father, our heavenly Father, is perfect. He has no malice towards you. He loves you completely. He cares for you. He watches over you, and he desires what is best for you. And he will lead you on that path that he has for you if you will allow him to. Does that mean that path will be easy and wonderful? No, but it does mean this. You will accomplish what God desires to accomplish in and through your life if you trust him and let him lead you. Will there be days that's a little scary? Absolutely. Will there be days it doesn't seem like it's very clear and it may seem a little foggy? Yes, because from our perspective, you know, we just don't understand all things because we can't see beyond our own perspective. I mean, we live down here on planet Earth, right? We just kind of got our view and we can see a few, we can kind of guess what's going to happen, but none of us know even what's going to happen tomorrow. So how can we see 10, 20, 30 years from now or longer of what our life's going to look like? We have no idea. We can kind of guess. We can kind of make some plans and try and set it up, but we really don't know because we don't know what circumstances will come over. We don't know when illness will come. We don't know when tragedy will strike. We don't know what will happen. We don't know if we'll still have our jobs. We have no idea what we control. Nothing in our lives, do we? But the one who created us, the one who loves us, sees our future with crystal clear clarity. He knows everything about your life. He knows exactly where you're going. He knows the purpose and plan he has. And if you trust him, he can lead you on the path that he has for you to take you in the direction that he wants you to go, to use your life in a way that will bless more people and further God's kingdom than you could have ever dreamed. But it all comes down to trust, doesn't it? It all comes down to that willingness to allow him to lead us as our eternal Father. And then that last title is one of those ones that we sing about. And it's a little harder for me to grasp because we don't live in a place where we have princes and kings and stuff like that. We live in a democracy, right? Not a monarchy. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. We don't have kings. But in that culture, they did. And he is the Prince of Peace, the one who is, he is the embodiment of what peace is. And by saying he's the Prince, it's not so much a title of royalty, it's even beyond that. He is the one who brings peace to the world. And that peace he brought how? Through the cross. Because you see, always as we head towards Christmas, always as we're moving towards the cradle in the manger and all the things that we think of, in the background is the cross. Because the reason Jesus came, the reason that all this is taking place is not just so we can have a nice story to tell and sing some cute songs and have a great celebration in December, is it? It's for our deliverance. It goes back to that problem I mentioned earlier when we have sin and we can't deliver ourselves from it. And because sin has a condition that sin leads us to death. And that death is not just physical death. That death is eternal death. It is a separation from God. Because of that, we can have nothing to do with God. We cannot be in his presence because of the sin in our lives. So God has to deliver us from that. And that's why Jesus came. That's the reason for the babe in the manger. That's the reason for all the things that we celebrate and sing about, is the cross. Because the cross is our deliverance. It is how God has chosen. The only way that God could deliver us from our sin is the cross. And that was always in the mind and heart of our Savior. He always knew where he was heading. His vision and his purpose and his plan was clear. And the same is true in your life. There are going to be challenges. There are going to be struggles. There are going to be difficulties in your life. But God is bigger than your difficulties. Amen? God is able to help you walk through that. It doesn't mean he magically makes them go away. That's the way we would want it to be, right? You know, whenever you go into the doctor and the doctor tells you you need to change something, does that ever happen? Okay, it's just me. All right. I guess I know what I need to do. But anyway, when the doctor tells you that, it's not easy, isn't there? Some things you have to change, things you have to alter, things you used to enjoy, you can't partake of anymore, and you have to do some things that you might not enjoy as much. But the purpose of that is what? Your health. It's so you get better, so you're able to take care of yourself. And oftentimes in our walk with our Savior, he's going to encourage us to do some things that are a little difficult, that we're not used to, that challenge us because, well, you know, we like doing things the way we've always done them and we don't like to change. But the Savior brings about change. He tries to remind us of who we are and he's trying to help us in our spiritual health, to help us become the men and women of God we have been created to become. You were born for more than this. This is not the end. This is not what life is about. Your life is bigger than what you experience on this planet. You were made with eternity in your hearts, the scripture says. You are an eternal being. Now, this body will not last. I've already explained that. We all know that our bodies are not going to last forever. But who we are, our spirit, our soul will live forever. And the hope that we have because of what Christ has accomplished for us is as we trust in him, we can live forever with him and accomplish all that he desires. And he can use us in ways that we never dream possible and allow our lives to be something more because they point to one who is greater than us and one whose love for us is really hard to fully grasp, but yet we see glimpses of it in our lives. this Prince of Peace, this Eternal Father, this one who we serve and seek to follow, this Savior that we love and admire, that we're celebrating, will lead us on a path that never ends. I love this verse 7. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. The throne of David over his kingdom to establish and uphold it, how? With justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. Did you catch that? How long will God's kingdom last? How long is forever? It's kind of one of those words that defines itself, right? Now, I said this text was written in 587 BC, and if you want to do the math, that's a long time ago. I'll just help you. I think it's about 2,600 years ago, roughly. Was anybody around 2,600 years ago? That's hard to really, you know, we know what that number is, but that's hard to fathom how long ago that was. I mean, this nation that we live in, it's going to be 2,300 more years before it's even, anybody's even living here that's here now. And it's just, it's different. It's so long ago. And yet that time from then to now is like, I can't snap very well. That's my dad's thing. Maybe I do it. I won't do it. The mic won't work too well. He won't make it. But it's just a moment. It's not even anything compared to what God sees. And this one who sees that, this one who leads us says, it's going to last forever. My kingdom will endure forever. Nothing will ever bring an end to what I accomplish. And how is this accomplished? By our hard work and our dedication, right? By our plans and our organization, right? That's how it's accomplished, right? No. What does the scripture say? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. God will accomplish this. God's work, God's power, his zeal, his abilities will accomplish his desires. And the same is true in your life. Some of us today may be facing a challenge, a situation that we kind of struggle with and wonder, well, you know, Lord, I'm not sure how I'm going to get through this. I don't know. That happens to a lot of us, doesn't it? We're kind of looking at things and thinking, God, this doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit with what I expect. How are we going to work through this, God? How is it going to get better? And what does God say? That's right. Trust me. Let me walk with you. I will walk with you in the middle of this. Is it going to be easy, God? No. Am I going to want to give up? Probably. Am I going to get frustrated and weary? You probably will. But trust me. Walk with me. And remember back to the promise when this text was written, what they were going through. No hope, it seemed. Everything seemed to be dark. It seemed like there was no focus, no future, no promise. And yet he said, in the land of darkness, there will be a great light. A child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. That's who we're talking about. That's the promise and hope that we have. That's why today we can gather and we can celebrate and we sing songs that may seem silly at times, but really point to the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And that hope that we have is a hope that we are called to share with those around us so that they too may experience that hope. God has an incredible purpose and plan for your life. He wants to do something with you that if he were to show you it all unfolded out in front of you right now, you'd probably run away and hide in a dark room. But if you allow him to unfold it before you and allow and trust him and walk with him and allow him to, you'll see God do things in you that you can't explain and grasp because it's God we're talking about here, folks. It's the creator of all. And think about, he had this plan from the beginning. This is not a backup plan. This is the way it was always going to be when he created the first man and woman and knew that they were going to fail because he knows what we are. We fail, don't we? And the plan was always there. This wasn't a backup plan. This was the plan to bring us back home. And I hope this verse and these verses we've looked at remind you that God is at work in your life and God desires to do something in and through you. And God's purpose for you is bigger than you can imagine. And his desire for you is his best for you. Not your best, but his. But in order for you to experience that in all its fullness, you got to trust him. Would you pray with me, Father? Thank you for your word. I thank you for how you speak to us today, how you minister to us, how you remind us of your goodness and your grace. And I pray, Lord God, that as we learn to trust you, you continue to work. Bless this time in the service, Father. If there's one here today that does not experience a relationship with you, we pray this would be the day that that person, man, woman, boy, or girl would come to you and experience that life-transforming encounter of knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and how that changes everything. Thank you for loving us and for calling us home. For I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.